Hi, my name is Sheridan Hansen. I'm from Utah State University in Logan, Utah. I've been working with Dr. Brent Black over the last couple of years. I'm happy to be speaking to you from Hawaii because a bunch of my friends this morning woke up to snow. So happy fall. I'm going to be talking to you today about renewal pruning strategies for tart cherry in high-density management systems. So tart cherry is a very important crop for Utah. We typically rank second in the nation for tart cherry production. It is economically our most valuable crop in Utah, and it's also our largest crop in acreage. In 2015, we produced 18.3 million kilograms of tart cherries, and in 2016, we produced 22.5 million kilograms of tart cherries. We're looking at the use of high-density orchards in Utah for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is to potentially facilitate early production of high-quality fruit. When we put our cherries in a high-density system and pull them closer together, it makes our trees more precocious, so they produce earlier. And they are also able to continue to produce the high-quality fruit that our orchardists and growers are used to. We're hoping that the high-density system can help extend orchard life as well. With the high-density system, we harvest in an alternate method, which I'll show you in a minute, which is different from the conventional system where we use trunk shakers, and that trunk shaker can shorten the life of our tart cherries because it damages the bark on the bottom of the tree. We're also hoping to reduce some of the labor in the orchard, and that comes with pruning practices, which is what we looked at with this study. So this study was done in Kaysville, Utah. We have an agricultural experiment research station there. And our high-density Montmorency tart cherry block is there. It was established in 2010. And in this block, we have several different rootstocks. We have Gisela 3 and Gisela 5, which are both semi-dwarfing rootstocks. And then we have a Mahalib rootstock, which is a vigorous rootstock and is traditionally used in a conventional system. We have three different training systems in this orchard. We have a single leader, a double leader, and a quad leader. And then our in-row tree spacing varied between 1.8 and 3.0 meters. And our alleyway spacing was 3.8 meters. So these trees are packed in there. They're pretty tight. High-density orchards require some specialized pruning techniques. And that is for a few different reasons. One of those is that tart cherries come with dense canopies to begin with. And we have to do some pruning with the tart cherries, even in the conventional system, in order to facilitate light and penetration of chemical protectants. But when we put the trees in a high-density system, we overlap the canopies, which creates an even denser canopy. And so our pruning has to be very focused in order to facilitate that light distribution and to facilitate the penetration of chemical protectants. If we're just getting light in the outside of the canopy and the chemical protectants in the outside of the canopy, it's not doing any good for our orchard. Our pruning also has to consider the use of the over-the-row harvester that we're using. This is the pruning or the harvesting technique that I was going to tell you about. You can see it's a modified blueberry harvester, kind of on steroids, and it's a canopy shake type harvester. So instead of shaking the trunk of the tree, we're shaking the canopy. It releases the fruit. The fruit comes down on belts. We're able to collect the fruit and harvest it that way. In order to facilitate the use of this canopy shake, we need a thin, flexible fruiting wood. We need a wood that will shake well, that's malleable, and that will go through the harvester easy. If we have large, non-bendable, very stiff and rigid wood, it doesn't shake very well in the canopy or in the harvester. We also need to use what's called planar canopies. So you can see in the middle of this harvester, it's kind of tall and narrow, and we need to make sure that our canopy fits inside that harvester to maximize that harvesting potential. So instead of having wide, rounded canopies, we pull our canopies in so that they're planar. And then something else we need to think about when we are working with tart cherries is we need to be renewing our fruiting spurs in the canopy in order to keep our production of high-quality fruit up. So this work focused on renewal pruning strategies, and you'll hear me refer to these renewal pruning cuts as stub cuts. Sometimes they're called Dutch cuts, and I have a picture of it here. They're used to replace or to regrow a branch, and you can see that we've got a couple of pictures here on the bottom. I don't know where this mouse is. There it is. Right here. You can see how we cut it and that branch broke and it regrew. When we do this, we have to leave at least one viable bud on that branch, and it can be a latent bud that you don't even know is there. But there must be that viable bud. And what we've found is with working with apples and peaches is that you can use a short stub. You can leave a stub as small as 1 or 2 centimeters, and as long as that viable bud is there, it will break and it will regrow. It doesn't work that way on cherries. With shorter stubs, we don't get regrowth. So the question was, what is that critical length that we need to leave on a cherry in order to get that bud to break and regrow? So this is our orchard when it's dormant. What we did was we came through in the orchard when it was in this state, and we made renewal cuts. Everything that we thought needed to be renewed, we cut, but we left it really long. That way I could come back through and determine the length. I went through and I flagged each of these renewal cuts. We measured them for length and diameter, and we categorized all of these into 3 different diameters. We had small, which was less than 1.5 centimeters in diameter, medium, which was 1.5 to 2.5 centimeters, and large, which was greater than 2.5 centimeters. And after they were cut and flagged and recorded, and I numbered all of them, there were a lot to number. The first year we did over 900, and the second year we did over 600. Then I went home and I arranged them so that we had an even distribution over all of our treatments in the orchard. I came back and we cut them to a specified length. In 2015, our lengths varied between 0 and 26 centimeters, and we had 4 different length categories. And in 2016, we were really trying to hone in on that critical length, and so we made some more categories. So we had 6 categories between 0 and 25 centimeters in length. The final cuts were made using a pre-measured PVC cutting guide, which you can see in that last picture, and I would just butt it up against the tree, and I would make a cut straight up and down. A lot of the times with these Dutch cuts, we want to cut them on an angle or a bevel, with the bottom being longer than the top, to encourage the bud to break on the bottom side and regrow. That gives us a better angle to our branch. But I didn't do that with this because I didn't want any question to the length that I left this branch or this stub cut. So we allowed these trees to grow throughout the season. We allowed them to fruit. We harvested over all of this. And I came back in September and I looked at what we had and I assessed the growth that we had. I found all of the stubs that were left in the trees, and I recorded the number of new shoots. I also recorded the length of the new shoots, and in 2016, I recorded the growth habit or the angle of the new shoots. And we defined vertical growth as less than 45 degrees from vertical, and horizontal growth was greater than 45 degrees from vertical. And these are our results. So this is showing the effect of stub length on shoot regrowth. And along the x-axis on the bottom, there's stub length in centimeters. On the y-axis, you've got the average number of new shoots, and that's the number of new shoots per cut. 2015 is in blue and 2016 is in red, and you can see that both of these are quite linear, meaning the larger or the longer the length of stub that we left, the greater number of new shoots we got. The shorter the number of stub that we left, the less number of new shoots that we got. This is the effect of stub diameter on shoot regrowth. So remember I told you that we had categorized these in 3 different diameter classes. And along the bottom, along the x-axis of this graph, you can see that there are those categories, small, medium, and large. And on the y-axis is the average number of new shoots, and that's the number of new shoots per cut again. You can see that there was a positive correlation between the diameter of the stub and the amount of regrowth that we got. The larger diameter of the stub, the more regrowth we got. And you can see some examples of this on the side there. The top photo has a smaller diameter, and the bottom photo has a larger diameter. And you can see the difference in the amount of regrowth. Okay, so this is the effect of rootstock on shoot length. So we're not looking at number of shoots. We're now looking at length of shoots. Across the bottom of this graph, I've got Gisela 3, Gisela 5, and Mahaleb, our rootstocks. The Gisela 3 and Gisela 5 are semi-dwarfing again, and that Mahalib is our vigorous rootstock. And then on the y-axis, we have average shoot length in centimeters per branch. And you can see that the Mahalib is a lot more vigorous. It's able to push longer growth than the Gisela 3 and the Gisela 5 rootstocks. So then we took our rootstocks, and we wanted to find that critical length that we needed to look, that we needed to leave in order to get that one shoot to regrow. We divided them into categories. We have the small diameter and the medium diameter and the large. And if you are to look right here, see if we can find this again, on the Gisela 3, a small diameter, our critical length that we would need to leave for one branch to regrow is 14 centimeters. If you look at the large diameter, it's about 8 centimeters. And if you come down here to Mahalib, to that vigorous rootstock, you'll see that we only need to leave, on a large diameter, we only need to leave about 5 centimeters of length in order to get that one shoot to regrow. Our R-squared values were pretty good. We had a few that were between 0.8 and 0.89. The majority of them were above 0.91 or 0.90. But you can see that the more vigorous the rootstock is and the larger diameter the branch is, the more likely you are to regrow a new shoot from a shorter stub length. So in summary, the longer the stubs, the greater number of new shoots we got. The larger the diameter of the stubs, the greater number of new shoots we got. And the more vigorous rootstocks, like the Mahalib, we got increased length in our new shoots. If we were to take all of the numbers that we got from before on this slide, which I forgot to tell you, we figured out how we got these numbers by using linear regression, and we solved for y, for y being one shoot. If we were to take all of these numbers and we averaged them, our critical length across the board would be about 10 centimeters for the highest probability of renewal growth. So future research from this project, there's a lot of questions that came up. In 2015 and 16, comparing the 2 years together, we found that the training system wasn't significant in 2015, but it showed significance in 2016. The reason we think this happened is because we had to prune to fit into that harvester that I showed you. We had to bring the height down on our trees quite a bit, especially in the single-leader trees. They were extremely tall. And in order to not break a branch and to minimize damage to the trees in the harvester, we had to do some serious cutting into the trees. What happened was we had more regrowth in those trees. So one of the questions is how heavy do we cut these trees, and how often do we cut these trees that heavy? Do we cut them every few years, or do we just keep it kind of, you know, even throughout every single year? We're also looking at the light penetration through the canopy in these high-density systems. We're also exploring research with crop protectants in these high-density systems as well. Are there any questions? How many renewal cuts do we make every year? So the renewal cuts, we didn't pick a certain number per tree. We went in and we did what we had to do in the trees, but it was pretty even spread across the entire orchard. So, you know, there wasn't anything that was heavier or lighter than one or the other. Right, so when we do go in and we prune, we typically choose the larger diameter branches to renew because they don't shake as well. But for the sake of this research, you know, we needed to see across the board to see what the small versus the large diameter would do.